यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो टू चैप्टर वन एंटाइटल्ड द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन गॉड रियलाइजेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 तत्वाप्येतर्हि कौरव्या सप्ताहं जीवितावधि उपकल्पयतत् सर्वं तावद्यत् सांपरायिकम् तवाप्येतर्हि कौरव्या सप्ताहं जीवितावधिः उपकल्पयतत् सर्वं तावद्यत् सांपरायिकम् तवाप्येतर्हि कौरव्या सप्ताहं जीवितावधिः उपकल्पयतत् सर्वं तावद्यत् सांपरायिकम् तवाप्येतर्हि कौरव्या Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. Purport. Sukadeva Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaj Khatwanga, who prepared himself for the next life within a very short time, encouraged Maharaj Parikshit by saying that since he still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of the time to prepare himself for the next life. Indirectly, the Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that he should take shelter of the sound representation of the Lord for the 7 days still remaining in the duration of his life and thus get himself liberated. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And as it was recited by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripri Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I've been giving classes for the last 1 year, but this theme of glorifying the glories of the process of glorification of the Lord has been very common. I got this opportunity to speak on this theme several times. Today's verse is also like that. Sukadeva Goswami is suggesting Maharaj Parikshit that he has to spend the rest of his life, the 7 days of his life, in hearing the glories of the Lord. And Prabhupada says that this is the best way of utilizing the rest of the life, is to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So theme is the glories of Sravanam. But I thought today when I sat for preparing, I thought I should describe the glories of the devotee because of whom this Bhagavatam came into existence. Then we can move on to the topic. We see that Maharaj Parikshit is so fortunate, and it's a reason for all of us to be envious of Maharaj Parikshit also, because of his fortune. Because Maharaj Parikshit was told that he will die in 7 days, the death notice. Not many people have that opportunity to hear when they will die. It's not so easy. Most people, almost everyone will die all of a sudden. And Maharaj Parikshit is here having this great opportunity that he was informed of his death. Okay, be prepared. So he could, because he's intelligent, he utilized that opportunity. And this opportunity is so rare. Maybe a handful of examples we can get. Bhishmadev, who had his death at his own will, and Khatvanga, the previous verse. And I remember somebody was telling me that Maharaj asked, His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj asked Stoka Krishna Prabhu before he was leaving body, that, are you ready? Prabhuji said, ready, I am ready. Yes, Maharaj. So that opportunity, it's very rare, very rare. Having such favorable circumstances when we are leaving this body and getting a prior notice also that we are about to leave the body and we can prepare and we have, you know, our loving people around who can, you know, prepare our consciousness for death. So that's very rare opportunity. So I don't know how you know, authentic is this information, but I heard that about 60,000 thoughts cross our mind every day. Out of them, more than 90% are about our own needs, our own concerns, wants and other things. More than 90%. And out of all those thoughts, not a single thought on an average will be about our death. When that Yaksha asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, people see so many, you know, known people are, so many people dying every day, but they are making plans to live forever. They are not given a benefit of doubt that they might live one day. So that is most, you know, amazing thing, and Yaksha was impressed by Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer. So we don't often think about death, but death comes all of a sudden. But Parikshit Maharaj's fortune is, he was told that he's going to die, and further, he has the right attitude to take it. So when he received the news of this curse by Brahmana, by this boy Sringi, he was already regretting that how could I commit such a heinous act towards a sage who is absorbed in meditation? It's not his mistake that he didn't give me water, but I performed such a heinous act, and he was regretting like anything. And then he was informed about this news that he was cursed by Sringi that he is going to die in 7 days. He accepted that as a good news. Not that everyone who is informed that you are going to die in few days will have that right mood to accept it. Now, some may say, why me? I am so young. Or many things like that. I still have many responsibilities. I have attachments. They come into picture. But Maharaj Parikshit, he accepted that as this curse as a cause of his indifference towards worldly things. This is an opportunity for me to be indifferent to all these worldly affairs, attachments, so that I can focus on the higher purpose of my life. So he left everything, he went to the bank of Ganges, and then decided that he has to fast until death. So Parikshit Maharaj, if you see, he's an emperor. Prabhupada writes in the purport that he's an emperor, and in general, the material opulence is a hindrance for one's bhakti. That's not applicable to Parikshit Maharaj, but in general, one who is materially very prosperous, it's difficult for him to take up to this process of bhakti. And one who is materially, you know, poverty stricken or materially miserable, it's, in one sense, it's easy for him. It's easy for him to take up to this process. But Parikshit Maharaj, out of his humility, he is considering that Parikshit Maharaj, I am an emperor. I have a lot of material opulence. So it's a major setback for me to become a direct personal associate of Krishna in the spiritual world. So when he received the news of the curse, he took it that way. I can't become the associate of Krishna directly with so much opulence around. So now this boy's curse I'm so fortunate that this boy's curse made me leave all these things, and I can get some eligibility in that sense. So he saw, although the boy's curse is unwise, he saw it as a cause of detachment from worldly affairs, like social, political, whatever he has to do as an emperor. And Shamik Rishi, he informed Parikshit Maharaj as a matter of duty, so that he can do something about it. But the curse could not be contracted, so he said, okay, I'll inform Parikshit Maharaj so that he can take some action. And here, if you see, Parikshit Maharaj regretted that he did a mistake. Now he got whatever the news of his death, and he didn't go and beg pardon, beg forgiveness from Shamik Rishi, because he could understand the mood of Shamikrishi. He informed the death news with such a regret. So now if I go and beg forgiveness from this sage, he'll become more morose and he'll become more shameful. He doesn't want to shame the Muni further. So he restrained. So he has the intelligence to understand that what this boy did is not wise thing to do. He is the emperor of the world and he is an insignificant boy. And what he has done is an insignificant mistake, and the punishment he is, given is very significant. Although Parikshit Maharaj is aware of all of this, but he didn't, when we are given some punishment, if we accept it, one could be out of humility, one could be out of ignorance. If we know, if we are aware that punishment is unjust, we will definitely try to defend ourselves. But Parikshit Maharaj knows that this punishment is not reasonable. And if he goes and begs forgiveness for his silly mistake, when he is given such a heavy punishment, that would embarrass this Muni, embarrass Shamikrishi also. He didn't go and beg forgiveness also. Not out of arrogance, not to shame Muni further. So, although all these things are there, like significant curse for an insignificant mistake, significant personality who is receiving that curse by an insignificant boy. So he is wise enough to just transform with his positive thinking that apparently embarrassing situation as something glorious, and he took up to this process. And why so? Pure devotees, it is said that pure devotees are extremely callous. Callous not to other people or the attachment or the objects of this world or any other object, but callous to any personal honor and dishonor. Pure devotees are extremely callous to this worldly advantages and reverses. Towards the end of this first canto, it comes, Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Kshipta Hata Api. Although pure devotees are tiraskrit, they are defamed, vipralabdha, they are cheated, shapta, although they are cursed, kshipta, although they are neglected, and hata api, although they are even killed, they have the ability to forgive them, forgive those who have caused that, embarrassing situation to them. Nasyatat pratikarvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. Nasyatat pratikurvanda. They don't even consider that, they're not inclined to avenge themselves. They don't want to defend. Although they are, defamed or cursed to death or done whatever injustice. So some devotee asked a question to His Holiness Yadunandan Swami. Yesterday only I happened to read this mail. Why advanced devotees leave bodies in such a horrible ways, apparently horrible ways? So how, as practicing devotees, or how anyone has to take it, how to, recently also one incident happened, you all know. So apparently horrible ways devotees are leaving their bodies. So our Yadunandan Swami Maharaj, he gave a reply. Lord is supremely independent. Sometimes he chooses to give an obviously auspicious and glorious death to his devotee, or sometimes he can give a so-called tragic death also. But in both cases, Lord's intention is to protect the devotee only, according to what is best to the devotee and what is best to the people around him also. Maharaj was quoting the example of the annihilation of Yadu dynasty. Yadu dynasty was destroyed in such a, unmentionable way. Their personal associates of Krishna, they get intoxicated and they beat among themselves and they die. What is this? This is like bewildering. Uddhava, when he was asked by Vidura, he was saying, karmanyanihasya bhavo bhavasyate durgashrayothari bhayat palayanam. कालात्मनो यत् प्रमदायुत आश्रमः स्वात्मन रते खिद्यति धीर विदामः खिद्यति धीर विदामः इवन द ग्रेट लर्नड मेन आर डिस्टर्बड बाय दिस एक्ट्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड कर्मण्यनीहस्य मींस ऑल्दो द लॉर्ड हैज नथिंग टू डू स्टिल ही एंगेजेस इन सो मेनी एक्टिविटीज भवो भवस्यते ऑल्दो ही इज अनबॉर्न ही टेक्स बर्थ एंड ही कोट सेवरल एग्जांपल्स एंड से दैट सो दिस काइंड ऑफ एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड पुट इवन ग्रेट लर्नड मेन इनटू बिविल्डरिंग conditions, bewildering situations. So, if you see Prithvimaharaj's pastime, he is a glorious ruler. He is a Shakyavesh incarnation of the Lord also. But towards the end of his life, in his old days, he leaves his, you know, whole, you know, kingdom and he goes to the forest to perform austerities alone. And the queen, his queen Archie also follows him. So they go, they do austerities. So Prithvimaharaj does austerities and eventually he leaves his body. Nobody is around. No, he is an emperor, nobody is there to take care of him, nobody is there to even do some final rites for him also. Apparently, if you see, it's not a, for a materialistic person, say it's not a very glorious death. You know, he has nobody around, nobody to take care of him, nobody to do even final rites also. And if you see Queen Archie, you know, some sympathetic people may even have some concern for her also. Hare, she is alone in the forest. She became a widow. She lost her husband. She has nothing to do. Nobody to assist her in doing this final rites also. So people may sympathize her also. But if you see Queen Archie, what she does is she laments for a while for the loss of her husband. And she comes back to senses and she, you know, arranges a funeral pyre, takes the body of her husband, keeps it on the funeral pyre, and she takes a holy bath and puts fire to her husband's chiti and she enters the fire and she dies. Someone may sympathize with her, not empathy, sympathy. She has nothing to do, that's why she also gave up her body. Because no one to take care of her, no one to do anything. Out of depression, she might leave her body. But someone can do this, someone does it, only if they don't have information of what happens after it. Because they are in this material realm, what they could see is only that material, you know, thing happening there in front of their eyes. They could understand only that much and say that, you know, this is not so glorious death. This poor couple, although they are rulers and they had such opulence, they just left in such a, you know, horrible way. But after that, what happens is Parikshit, Prithvimaharaj and Archie, they go to Vaikuntha planets in airplane. And the denizens of heaven, heavenly planets, mainly the ladies of heavenly planets, they glorify Archie for such devotion and for her chastity towards her husband. And they condemn the process of other processes like karma and jnana, and they glorify this process of bhakti. Because these are devotees, because these are bhaktas, this Prithvimaharaj and Archie, they got such a glorious death. Such a brave act she has performed. She is very intelligent enough to do what is needful at that moment, and she gave her body and she joined her husband and went back to Godhead. So that understanding one gets only when he has sufficiently heard from Srimad Bhagavatam or from a devotee. When somebody has that shastric knowledge, that understanding of the pastimes of the Lord, then he could appreciate this apparently horrible things happening in front of him. So when somebody passes away in a apparently horrible way, some people might minimize the position of the process, or he practiced this process for in such a glorious way, but see what kind of death happens. If they might minimize the glories of the process, they might tend to minimize the glories of this devotee. He didn't practice the process properly. That That's why although he's practicing such a good process, they have such a good philosophy, he passed away in such a, horrible way. But if you see the understanding, this, even Yadunandan Swami Maharaj also, when he was replying to this, question by a devotee, how do we understand that when devotee passes away in such horrible ways, how do we understand this? What he did is, he just took some shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam, took some Prabhupada purports and some other shlokas and just added very little bit of his understanding. He said, this is what it is. So, all answers to apparently bewildering situations are there in Srimad Bhagavatam, are there in, Prabhupada's purports and other books or scriptures. All we need to do is scrutinizingly study them and properly understand them. So, when one who doesn't have that understanding might tend to misunderstand this apparently horrible, pastimes that Lord is performing and the things that are happening, the apparent injustice that are happening with the devotees. So, Parikshit Maharaj had that, ability to understand the will of the Lord, and he could positively, take this curse of this Brahmana boy, Sringi, and then decided to fast until death. So, Gauranga Prabhu also says that the process is glorious, but our understanding of the process or the philosophy is not sufficient. That philosophy is the foundation of the process, and the practitioners don't have the, ability or time or whatever to understand that philosophy and apply that philosophy. If there is no understanding, how can they apply? When such bewildering things come, they tend to misunderstand. Even Kumaras, when they meet Prithu Maharaj, they were suggesting Prithu Maharaj, when some bewildering conditions arise, one might tend to doubt the potency of the process. But what is prescribed by great devotees is the only practice, only process that is worth practicing is devotional service. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya santaha, the devotees, who have taken the shelter of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, karmashayam grathitam, they can give up, utkrathayante, they can root out this, grathitam, this hard knot of, material desires, karmashayam, their fruitive acts, to perform fruitive acts and get results of those fruitive acts. They can give up this hard knot of that material activities, once they take the shelter of the Lord. Tadvanna riktamatayo yatayopi ruddha. Riktamatayo is one who is devoid of devotional service. Prabhupada in the purport says that the karmis and jnanis are also devoid of devotional service. Riktamatayo, but they, yatayopi ruddha, although they, endeavor at their best to give up this desire for fruitive activities, they can't do. They might go to some extent, again they will fall down. Things happen like that, so they can't do, but a devotee, Santa, can do, because he is fixed up in the service of the lotus feet. Sroto ganastamaranam, they can't give up the waves of sense gratification. Sroto gana is waves of sense gratification. So, what we are suggesting to you, Prithu Maharaj, four Kumaras are saying, is aranam bhaja vasudevam. Aranam, this process is worthy of taking shelter. Bhaja vasudevam. So please continue performing devotional service. Don't leave this. Even though so many apparently bewildering situations happen, don't give up this process of bhakti. So further, the understanding comes when we hear, when we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we are, cool even in chaos like that. So Parikshit Maharaj had, we see that Parikshit Maharaj had the right attitude to accept the will of Krishna without any question, why me? So, because Parikshit Maharaj is fortunate enough to have the notice of death, diary 7 days before, and he also had a right attitude to take it. He got the best association also. And Parikshit Maharaj decided to fast until death. All great minds and thinkers along with their followers, all great sages who could sanctify the places of pilgrimage just by their presence, they came on the plea of pilgrimage to this pilgrimage place on the bank of Ganges where Parikshit Maharaj is sitting and, you know, decided to fast until death. They came on the plea of pilgrimage, but they, Prabhupada writes in the purport that they have the ability to foresee that Bhagavatam is going to appear now. So they came, not for pilgrimage, not to have a holy bath. They could appreciate the decision of Parikshit Maharaj. They came just to participate in this glorious event. Later, Atri, Chavana, Sharadvan, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Parashara, Narada, Vishwamitra, Angira, so many names are given. So many such great souls appeared there. And they praised the decision of Parikshit Maharaj, and they completely expressed their approval, and they said, "We shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord Parikshit Maharaj returns to the Supreme Lord, Supreme Planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination of all kinds of lamentation." They came there, they appreciated his decision, they have taken decision to be there till he leaves his body. So when a devotee, when somebody, you know, accepts, shows his willingness to perform bhakti, to become a surrendered soul to Krishna, all the sages, all the demigods, they come and favor them, favor the devotee. They give all their blessings. "You have all our blessings. Please, please continue devotional service." If you see, Indra, out of his fear of losing his position, he disturbed so many, you know, yogis and so many demons, like whom he saw as a threat to his own position. But we don't generally see Indra disturbing a devotee who is worshipping Krishna, because the devotee doesn't have any aspiration. He doesn't have any aspiration other than pleasing Krishna. If that is the aspiration of a devotee, that is no threat to Indra. Why he has to bother? So they, you know, all the demigods, they show their complete favor when somebody is performing devotional service. You know, then if you see Dhruva Maharaj, he was blessed by Kuvera because he was a devotee. And we just discussed Archi also, Queen Archi also, she was appreciated by the denizens of heavenly planets. By practicing the process of karma and jnana, what you reach is higher planets. And the residents of higher planets are appreciating this process of bhakti, who have already, they are in the destinations of, you know, those people who are aspiring to reach there. So he is appreciating. And the Lord Shiva also in the fourth canto, he expresses his appreciation towards the Prachetas for taking that glorious decision to perform devotional service. He